no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've thought or anything, you are welcome here in God's presence. We don't have to feel alone or like an outcast. Jesus' blood brings us near to God. And where we felt alone before, Jesus brings us near, and he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. And listen, I wanted to tell somebody tonight that you're not alone. And Jesus' blood, when he died, he tore down the wall that was keeping you in isolation, and you are now near to God. There is no reason why any of us should feel excluded or feel like we are better than anyone else or any of that. We should feel accepted and welcomed and loved.
Worship Generation Radio presents Pastor Nate Gallagher with the Factory Youth, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Vero Beach. We are currently making our way through the book of Ephesians in a series called Built to Last. The Apostle Paul writes to this church in Ephesus with some key information on how to be a well-rounded Christian. Paul's goal isn't to see people walk with God for a limited time, but for a lifetime. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians for today's message with Pastor Nate.
Ephesians chapter 2. We read, therefore, everyone say therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. How much hope? Having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple. Has anybody ever seen a building grow before? Like, I've seen additions to a building. Anybody seen one grow? Like, I've seen a tree grow, flower grow. He says that this building is going to grow into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Paul, in this section, he really lays out for us all that what Jesus has done and undone through his death. There was things that Jesus completed, and then there was things that Jesus broke down. Now, Paul was writing to a group of Gentile believers in a Gentile city. And we need to understand that the Jews, who were God's chosen people, and the Gentiles did not get along. Something you need to understand. Jews and Gentiles were not buddies. They didn't go to the mall together. They didn't hang out at Starbucks together. They did not like one another. The Jews, they believed that God created the Gentiles as fuel for the fires of hell. That's how they viewed Gentiles. That the only reason they existed was so they could keep hell's fire burning. The Pharisees, they would thank God in their prayers that they were not women, dogs, or Gentiles. That's what the Pharisee men would pray. They would thank God in their morning prayers that I am not a woman, I am not a dog, and I am not a Gentile. The Gentiles, they hated the Jews, one, because they thought they were a bunch of ignorant, holier-than-thou people chasing some foolish religion. They thought these guys are a bunch of morons and they're ignorant. They haven't been enlightened to the world as we know it. And they thought the Jews really were pitiful and they despised the Jews. They hated each other. They did not get along. In fact, it was against Jewish law to help a female Gentile who was in labor. If you were a Jew, you couldn't help a female Gentile who was in labor because they didn't want to be responsible for bringing another Gentile into the world. If you were a Jew and you were to marry a Gentile, the funeral of that Jew would be carried out instead of a wedding because marrying a Gentile was worse than being dead. This is the backdrop in which Paul is writing to this group of Gentile believers. It's pretty serious, right? I mean, your whole life, the culture in which you've grown up, you've been groomed to understand that Jews and Gentiles are not friends. That you, in the Jewish people's mind, you are as good as gasoline. You are as good as a log tossed into the fire. And a Gentile viewed the Jew as an ignorant, as whatever, all these things, pitiful and the rest. And so this is the context in which Paul is writing this letter. And he writes to these Gentile believers to tell them that the animosity between the two groups was done away with at the cross. Where there was separation and dislike has now been fixed because of Jesus. And not only was there dislike between the two groups of people, the Gentiles weren't even allowed to worship the God of the Jews like the Jews worshiped. So they hated each other just culturally, but they also, the Gentiles, were not allowed to worship the God of the Jews. Josephus, who was a historian during the time of Jesus, he wrote extensively about the temple during the time of Jesus. And he wrote that in the temple that there were these different courts designed for different people. The furthest court out, the farthest away from the Holy of Holies where God dwelt, that was known as the court of the Gentiles. So if you were a Gentile, you could go into the court of the Gentiles, which was the farthest away from the Holy of Holies. If you got past that wall, the next wall would be the court of the women. So it would be Gentiles, and then it would be Jewish women. From there, you got a little bit closer to God, the presence of God. You got the court of the lepers. So closer to God than women and Gentiles were lepers. Which is remarkable, right? These people were diagnosed with a deadly disease. This disease would ultimately kill them. And it was so contagious that they had to live in quarantine outside the city. But they were allowed entrance. You would go through a side door into the court of the lepers that was closer to God than the women and the Gentiles. And then if you were not a leper and you were a Jewish man, you would get into the court of the Jewish men. And then from there, you would get into the court of the priests. And then there would be the temple veil that kept people out of the Holy of Holies where God would dwell. And each one of these courts were separated by a wall designed to keep people out. It wasn't designed to keep people in, it was designed to keep people out. There was even a sign found in 1871 that would have been placed on the wall on the court of the Gentiles. And this is what it said, quote, "Let no one of any other nation come within the fence and barrier around the holy place. Whosoever will be taken doing so will be responsible for the fact that his death will ensue." So if you go past this wall, it's your fault and you're going to die. And you're responsible for the fact that we're going to kill you. That was what was written. They found this in history, our history, this sign that would have been placed on this wall to keep people out of the presence of God. The temple was designed in such a way to keep people out. And Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians from prison, and he was in prison for being accused of bringing an Ephesian, a Gentile, who he's writing to, into the Jewish courts, into the temple. Paul is accused of bringing an Ephesian, a Gentile, into past the court of the Gentiles, past the court of the women, and into the court of the Jewish men, And that was not allowed. Remember the sign that they found that said, don't pass. It says, like, no trespassing. If you do, you will be shot and killed, and it's your fault. Like, that's the idea. And Paul is being accused of doing this. Now, he didn't do that. He was hanging out with an Ephesian, like they were at the mall together, and then one Pharisee was like, yeah, you brought him into the temple. And he's like, no, we were at, like, the cookie store. And he's like, anyways, so now he's in prison. But this was such a big deal in their culture that Paul, the Jew, was the one in prison. Not the Gentile, the Jew was the one in prison because Paul was responsible for doing this. Also, there was so much corruption, they wanted to kill Paul. They were looking for any opportunity they could to put him to death. But Paul, the Jew, was the one in prison for the Gentile going into the court of the Jews. All of this was designed to keep the Gentiles out of the God and the culture of the Jews. This was the backdrop, probably frustrated at the state of the temple and the exclusiveness of it. Paul writes this section about what Jesus does. You can almost hear the frustration in Paul's voice as he writes to them in prison for breaking these rules because of these walls that have been placed by man that kept Gentiles out of experiencing worship with the true and living God. And Paul writes this to explain to us how Jesus destroys the walls that are put up by man. Because God never designed Israel to act this way. The Jews, yes, they were God's chosen people, but they were blessed by God to be a blessing to others. That's what God told Abraham way back when God called and chose Abraham. He said, I am blessing you so that you can be a blessing to many nations. And listen, the grace and blessings that flow to you are always meant to flow through you. God has given us grace. God has given us blessings. And those blessings are never meant to be hoarded for ourselves. You know, so often we think, I was saved by the grace of God and I get all the grace. And then we look around at people and we think, they're saved too? How did they? Don't you know what they did? Don't you know the kind of person that they were? Don't you know the lifestyle that they don't deserve to be forgiven? Well, neither do we. That's why it's called grace. And the grace that we receive is never meant to stop at us. It's not to go to you and that's it. Like, you're the target market. God won when he got you and then game over. He doesn't need to get anybody else. No, the grace that we've received is meant to go through us, not stop at us. But the Israelites, they were receiving the blessing from God and they were stopping it with themselves. And they were thinking, we're the blessed, we're the chosen, and that's it. But God, from the beginning, designed it for them to be a blessing to others. And the Israelites, they're hoarding the blessing from God. But Jesus came, as Paul said, to tear down the middle wall of separation. He is literally speaking of the wall that is placed to keep the Gentiles out, the women out, and even the Jews out, and making a way for all to have access to the most intimate part of a relationship with God, access to the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. That's why when Jesus died, we're told that the veil of the temple was torn in two, making access for all to come into the presence of God. The veil that was designed just like the walls to keep people out of the presence of God was torn in half from top to bottom, showing that God made a way for man to have access to him. And God knocks down all those separations and gives us access to him. Paul wrote this to the Galatians, Galatians 3. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All those things that separated the Jews and the Gentiles and the things that caused such contentions are all done away with in Christ. All of which, Paul says, were done away with through specifically the blood of Christ. Verse 13, it's on the screen. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. These walls that were set up to keep people out of the presence of God were not torn down through keeping the law. They weren't torn down through religion. they weren't torn down through belonging to a certain group or race. In fact, all of these things were the very things that put up these walls, trying to keep the law and trying to be a part of the perfect religion and saying, this is what's right, this religion, these religious acts, etc., or being a part of a group, Jew or Gentile, all of those the things that put up the wall. The way the middle wall of separation was torn down was through the blood of Jesus Christ, no other way. And when Jesus died, he united Jew and Gentile into one man from the two. That's what he says in verse 15. It's on the screen. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And it wasn't like God made the Gentiles up to the Jewish people's standard. Does that make sense? Here, the Jewish people looked down at the Gentiles looked over at the Jews and said, you guys are more. It's not like God made the Gentiles up to the Jews or the Jews down to the Gentile standard. He created them all into a brand new identity in Christ. It wasn't like he gave the Gentiles a little booster seat and now you're up to the Jews' level. That's not what he did. He created a brand new identity in Christ Jesus. And he has made us all new and into the highest legal standing that we can be before God. We are made right with God through the blood of Christ because he abolished the wall that separated us from God and abolished the differences between man and man. Isn't it interesting, maybe you've noticed this, maybe not, that being a follower of Christ, being a Jesus person, unites you with other Jesus people, even people that you may not get along with on a simply social level. You ever experienced that? Where it's like there's somebody that you could have zero things in common with, but they can be your best friend in Christ. Because God, not only did he break down the middle wall of separation between God and man, but also between man and man. Where we can now have fellowship with one another, groups of people that would never really experience fellowship outside of being in Christ. Because Jesus' blood has reconciled us to God and between man and man. And the wall that had been set up by the law has been torn down by Jesus. And the law said that you have to be this type of person and do this type of thing. And it built a wall too high for anyone to climb over. And so God sent forth his son to tear down that wall and to make a way for all to have access to God. No longer separating Jew and Greek, male and female, or slave and free. All of us, everyone has access to God through Jesus. So, what does all of that mean for us? Well, one, we are Gentiles. Gentile basically means a non-Jew. And so because we're Gentiles, we before Jesus had no access to God. We were part of those people that would walk up to the very first court. We'd see the sign and be like, I don't feel like dying today, so I'm going to hang out here with the rest of the Gentiles. And then the lepers would pass us laughing at us and go a little bit farther. And then the Jewish men would look down at the lepers and go a little bit farther. And then the priest would walk in and look down at the Jewish men and go a little farther. And then splocked by the veil. And then Jesus comes in and he knocks down all those walls, and us as Gentiles have a way to have access to Jesus. And so, one, it affects us that way. We can have access to the presence of God. We're no longer kept out of the presence of God, and Jesus came to deal with that. And when we believe on Jesus, that wall that was set up, put up by our sin, is torn down, and we have access to God. And so when we place faith in Jesus, we're given access to God. On top of that, I want to give you three takeaway truths from this text that we receive as a result of Jesus' blood being shed and him tearing down the middle wall of separation. Number one, point one, takeaway truth, in Christ we are brought near. The blood of Jesus brings people together. Where the law made humanity separate and at odds with one another, the blood of Christ brings people together. The blood of Christ creates unity and togetherness that the law could never create. And oftentimes, people, especially young people, feel like outcasts. They feel like they don't belong somewhere. Maybe it's you go in your school and in your classroom and you look around and there's just not really anybody I connect with. I don't really feel like I belong here. Maybe even in your home, you look around and your parents are doing this, your siblings are doing that, and you think, I don't really belong here. Maybe it's at your work, and maybe you're trying to be a Christian, and you look around and you feel like, I don't really belong here. And a lot of times we feel like we don't belong, especially in this age bracket, because it's sort of the age where we're sort of finding ourselves and figuring out where we're going or what we're going to do, and we don't feel like we belong anywhere. And I was reading this week that in fact, depression due to isolation is one of the main causes of suicide among young people. That just the fact that I don't really feel like I belong anywhere. And as a result, young people feel like they need to take their own life because they don't see where they fit among other people. But Jesus' blood tears down these walls of separation and brings unity. Where we once felt like an outcast, we now belong. That's what Paul says in verse 19. It's on the screen. It says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners." You're no longer outcasts. You no longer have to be unwelcome or excluded and not feel like you're a part of something. Through Christ, in Christ, we are united. We're welcome together. We belong somewhere. Listen, let me tell you, you belong here. You belong here. You are welcomed here. We're happy that you're here. You can be safe here because God loves you and the people here love you. And if you feel excluded everywhere you go, know that in God's house, in His church, you are welcome. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've thought or anything, you are welcome here in God's presence. We don't have to feel alone or like an outcast. Jesus' blood brings us near to God. And where we felt alone before, Jesus brings us near, and He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. And listen, I wanted to tell somebody tonight that you're not alone. And Jesus' blood, when He died, He tore down the wall that was keeping you in isolation, and you are now near to God. There is no reason why any of us should feel excluded or feel like we are better than anyone else or any of that. We should feel accepted and welcomed and loved. Second point, you could write this down. In Christ, we have hope and peace. If we had no hope without Christ, then we have hope with Christ. And the person that is without God does not have hope of eternity with God, of hope in this life. They live their lives not knowing what's to come. But through Christ, we have hope. And the word hope that's used in the Bible is not blind or ignorant hope. It's not hoping against the odds, like thinking, I hope that I get a bike for Christmas. That's not the word. The word, it means an expectation of what's to come, knowing that this is going to happen. And the Christian, we have the expectation of eternal life with God. Not only eternal life with God, but we also have hope in the promises of God that He gives us in our difficult circumstances. God says He works all things together for good for those who love Him. And so we can have hope in difficult circumstances that God is working all things out. If God's word says, I'm going to work all things out, we can have hope that God's going to do that. And not hope like, I don't know, I might get a panda bear for Christmas. No, hope that God is going to work this out. An expectation that God is going to work all things out for good. In Christ we have hope. In Christ we have peace as well. Peace is something I believe that's hard to come by in this world, especially if we look up and look around at all the different circumstances that are going on in our world. It's something that'll keep you up at night. Not only that, but in our own lives, peace is hard to come by. Because of school and work and friends and family and all these things, peace is at times really difficult to come by. All of our life circumstances are not conducive for peace. But Jesus gives us peace because Jesus is our peace, Paul says. And not only does He give us peace within ourselves, but He gives us peace with one another, and He gives us peace with God. Where we were at odds with God. The Bible says that God can't look at sin, that God's wrath was poured out on Jesus on the cross because he became sin for us. And if his wrath wasn't poured out there on Jesus, it would have been poured out on us. Because sin and God don't go together, but through Jesus, in Christ, we have peace with God, we have peace with one another, and we have peace within ourselves.
Thank you for listening to today's study presented by Worship Generation Radio. If you would like to listen again or hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, visit us online at ccvb.net/thefactorypodcast. You can keep up with all that is going on with Pastor Nate or The Factory by following on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher or at The Factory Youth. If this message has blessed you, we would love to hear about it. Send an email to church@ccvb.net. Join us next time as we continue studying the Bible with Pastor Nate Gallagher.